Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Matthew? The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 27. I'm going to read the story of the Lord Jesus as he stood before the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 27. We'll begin reading at verse 11. Matthew 27 and verse 11. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." When he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" He answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. They had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate saith unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when they had scourged Jesus, he delivered him from crucifixion. Now we look to the Lord to bless this reading of his word. 2,000 years ago nearly, when this story took place, the greatest power on earth was the power of the Roman Empire. There was nothing like it anywhere else. I've read to you tonight about a man called Pontius Pilate. He's one of a number of Roman governors mentioned in the Bible who had the responsibility to enforce Roman law and keep a measure of peace in what we call the land of the Middle East. Now, I happen to know from history that Pontius Pilate was faced with a tremendous task. One of the most difficult areas to govern was this area where Pilate ruled. Incidentally, for a great many years, there have been skeptics of the Bible who have said There never was a man called Pontius Pilate because there is no archaeological evidence of it. Now we would tell you tonight that what you believe in your Bible, what you read in your Bible, you can believe. It's God's book. 30-some years ago, over in the city of Caesarea in Israel, a bulldozer clearing the land for a new building turned over a great limestone block of some ancient building. Engraven in the limestone were these words, that this building was erected in the days when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea. Now, the Bible will always be shown to be right. Man, inevitably, if he goes against God, will always be shown to be wrong. I have read to you tonight of a very powerful man, a Roman governor. For a few minutes tonight, in the closing part of this meeting, there are some things about this man we want to draw our attention to. An individual with power, an individual with position, an individual with prestige, but an individual faced with the crisis of his life. And an individual that made the most tragic mistake that anyone could ever make. He's faced with a decision regarding the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate blunders. Might I say something to you? I don't know that I ever read the story of Pilate or the story of the Lord Jesus standing before Pilate without feeling a good deal of sympathy for Pilate. I hope you're not going to be shocked at that. A good deal of sympathy for this man. A man that's faced with tremendous pressures on both sides. I'm saying that because in a meeting such as this tonight, in a meeting of any gospel preaching, there are individuals. And there's conflict in your mind and conflict in your life. On the one hand, there is something that's telling you what you know you should do. And on the other hand, there are forces against you to decide against God and against Christ and against salvation. There are three things I want to draw your attention to in relation to Pontius Pilate for a moment. I beg to think just for a little while about the difficulty that this man had. I said he was in a most difficult situation. I'd like to think with you for a moment about the decision that this man made. And I'm asking you tonight, before you leave this meeting, when you ponder it, never mind the difficulty. Your eternal destiny is at stake, where your soul will be in eternity, will be determined by how you stand in relation to the Lord Jesus. I want you to think tonight not only the man's difficulty and the man's decision, but look, here we are in these 1960-some years have gone by. Now where is the great Roman governor Pilate? Where is the man now who could have called out all these legions of Roman soldiers and squashed the rebellions as he did? Where is the man now with the power of Rome at his back? I tell you, Pontius Pilate is gone into death and gone into eternity. And as I read the story of the Bible, I must come to this conclusion that Pilate, the man with such power on earth, would be tonight in the very flames of hell because of a wrong decision in relation to Christ. And I ask you tonight, where will you be 100 years from now? And 100 years from now, it won't matter one little bit who you were as far as life is concerned, what your position is, what power you might have, what prestige you might have in front of friends or acquaintances. It'll mean nothing when it comes to eternity. Here's a man faced with the greatest decision he'll ever make, and he makes the wrong one. When we read the story of Pontius Pilate, there are two or three other things I want to draw to your attention. Friend, when you read your Bible, you can see that there's many an individual that makes a wrong choice in life. But here's a man that had opportunity. Let me bring three things before you quickly. Pilate, the governor of this land, was a man who was trained in Roman law. The famous Pax Romana, if you know anything about it of history, this man had a responsibility. At this time, the people of Israel, the authorities of Israel, didn't have the right, or what we might call the right of the death sentence, so they were forced to go to the Roman governor. But the Roman governor, with all the power that was at his disposal, there's a law that he's supposed to uphold. Pilate has a responsibility. He's been trained in a certain way. It would have meant nothing for Pilate to gather a group of soldiers, a legion of soldiers or more if he wanted, and go out to put down any rebellion and kill any number of rebels that he faced. That would have meant nothing for Pilate. He'd done that before. But the judge Pilate, the governor Pilate, on this particular occasion, is being asked to put an innocent man to death. And Pilate has a problem with that. He's being asked to do a wrong thing, and he knows it. You know something tonight? In that life of yours, if you're not right with God, if you're not saved and saved, you must be to be in God's heaven. In that heart of yours, friend, if your sins have never been forgiven, and sin must be forgiven for you to be right with God and in God's heaven when it's all over. If you've never come to know Christ as your Savior and know Christ as your Savior, you must, if you're ever going to be in heaven at the end of it all. Then in that heart of yours tonight, you're faced with the decision of your soul for eternity. And there's a world around you, and there's influences around you, and they would seek to make you do the wrong thing at the very cost of your soul. Judicially, Pilate knows what he ought to do, but the pressure is so great. I would tell you that morally, Pilate knows what he ought to do. I read in my Bible. He knew that for envy they had delivered him. There's a moral question here as well as a judicial question. And the pressure is on Pilate. There's religious pressure on Pilate. There's a number of times I can read as I go through the Gospels and into the book of the Acts. There's a number of times when I read of how this man Pilate tries to evade this question, but you cannot evade the question of Christ. You might remember from the Gospels that Pilate, early in the morning, when the Lord Jesus is brought before him, Pilate finds out where he's from and then sends him off to stand before King Herod, the king of the Jews. And basically the thought is this, I'll let Herod take care of it. You can't escape the question of the Lord Jesus in that way. It's not something that can be left to somebody else. You might remember as you read through your story that to try to appease the crowd, Pilate allowed the Lord Jesus to be mocked and the crown of thorns upon him, and then the scourging, the whipping, and then he brings them out, and as the Lord Jesus stands there having endured all of that suffering, Pilate says, "Behold your king." And the thought behind it is, now I've done enough to him. Let's let him go. I've read you here a word Pilate upon this particular occasion is saying, there's a terrible criminal in the jails. Now I have to release someone unto you. And surely the man is thinking that the people would never want the release of a known robber and murderer, Barabbas, in the place of Jesus instead of Jesus. Such is the hardness and bitterness of the crowd that they'll take the known evil person and reject the Son of God. The pilot, you see, is trying to get away from the problem. Pilate is trying to avoid the issue. Pilate is trying to avoid making the decision that he has to make. I'm saying to you that judicially the man knows if I do this, I'm wrong. Morally, Pilate knows if I do what they want, it's wrong. Spiritually, Pilate is being reminded, that's what we read here, if I do what they want, it's wrong. Do you know what I mean by that? Pilate was a Roman. Pilate and all Pilate's people would have been very superstitious people. They don't know the God of the Hebrews. They don't know the God of the Bible. But Pilate believed in powers out there somewhere. And then while this is going on, Pilate's wife sends him a message and says, "Have thou nothing to do with this just man?" She's saying, "Pilate, you be careful what you're doing. I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." And that would cause Pilate to back off. That should cause Pilate to be careful. I turned to John's Gospel, chapter 19, and I learned this, that the Jewish priests stood before Pilate and they said to the Roman governor, "We have a law. By our law he ought to die. He made himself the Son of God." John's Gospel 19 says that when Pilate heard that, he was the more afraid. Son of God, here's a Roman governor, I say to you again, with all of his power, but he's afraid. He's afraid of the man that stands before him. He's afraid of the decision that he's going to make. He's afraid of the consequences in light of whatever spiritual powers he deems are out there. He's just simply afraid. Did you know the tragedy of the whole story? He is more afraid of the reaction of the people. He is more afraid of the personal consequences in relation to his political position. He is more afraid of the implications from his boss Caesar in Rome. He is more afraid of those things than he is of his fear of God, or his fear of making the wrong choice, or his fear of the Lord Jesus, or his fear of what it will mean to him in the future. Will you think for a moment, when it comes to the matter of you and your standing before God, could I go back and say to you again, friend, everyone in this meeting tonight, Let me again tell you that the Bible plainly teaches that in God's sight we're all sinners. In the sight of God we're all on a wrong road that leads to a lost eternity. In the sight of God in heaven, we're poor, darkened sinners, lost and gone astray. And as God in heaven looks down, we all needed in our lifetime salvation before God. And friend, the wonderful story of the Bible is this, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now that's the Lord Jesus, the one who stands before Christ. And John 3:16 says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In spite of our terrible dilemma of sin and spiritual darkness and being lost on the wrong road, there is the love of God the Bible tells us of, and God's salvation that's provided because the Son of God has come into the world and given His life a ransom on Calvary's cross. Now, but as I think of this man and his decision, I am concerned about you as to where you stand in it. I should say to you, it's not a decision that saves. Only Christ can save. If you have never come to know Christ as your Savior, you'll never come to know forgiveness of sin. You'll never come to know peace with God. You'll never know all well with your soul until you realize what you are in God's sight. And until you're prepared to say, I don't care about the world, I don't care about things, I don't care about my job, I don't care about anything. I want to be right in God's sight. I want to do the right things. And Pilate weighs it up, and from these different avenues that I say is a man, and he's convicted inside. I'm going to make a mistake. Pilate knows that. Nevertheless, with all of his attempts to evade the question, he finally reaches the point where he says, take him. And he's done the wrong thing. We don't want you to go out of this building tonight. We don't want you to go out of this building tonight not saved. We wouldn't want you to go out of this building tonight not knowing your sins forgiven. We're saying to you tonight, realize what the Bible is saying to you. Realize that God's only Son came into this world and died in agony on the cross of Calvary. And the awful divine vengeance of God in heaven against sin was laid upon Him. And there's a provision that satisfied God. And there's a provision through the death of the Lord Jesus that has saved millions down through the centuries and can save you tonight. But which is more important in your mind? Let me just quickly run through a couple of things with you. When I think of the Lord Jesus standing before Pilate, I'm reminded of some of the things that the Lord said of Himself in the Bible. John 6, the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, he that believeth on me shall never thirst. If the bread of life had never come into the world, spiritually we were starving, we would have starved in eternity, and Pilate tonight is lost. Without anything to satisfy or any hope of anything ever to satisfy the need of the poor man, because he made a decision that he knew was wrong. The Lord Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. the light of the world has come, the Lord Jesus. And had he not come, we who were spiritually dark would have gone and been lost in eternal darkness. And Pontius Pilate tonight, because of a wrong decision, a decision that he knew was wrong before he made it, while it is lost in the darkness of hell forever, so will you be if you go on without Christ. The Lord Jesus, John 10 and 9 says, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And if the door of salvation had never come into the world, we would have all been lost on the outside forever. Friend, listen. There is a door of salvation, and it's Christ. And the individual who comes to know Christ as Savior enters a door, a doorway of salvation. Heaven becomes a home, but Pilate tonight is on the outside. And so will you be if you go on without the Lord Jesus. John 10:11, Lord Jesus, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And here we are, as we naturally were in this world, all lost, like sheep and gone astray, but the shepherd is come. And oh, I thank God tonight, and I really mean that ever there was a time in my life, I knew, I found out from the Bible, I was a lost sheep, but Christ the shepherd found me. I didn't find him, he found me. But friend, listen. Without the Lord as your shepherd, you'll be lost forever. That's the solemn thing, lost forever, where Pilate is. John 11, the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection. Friend, listen. The one who comes to know the Lord Jesus as Savior need not fear death. Death is but a stepping stone from here to God's heaven. Death simply means action from the body present with the Lord. But without the Lord Jesus, it's not only physical death, it's spiritual death, eternal death. The second death, the Bible calls it in Revelation 20. Lost forever. John 14, the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That the way of salvation had never come. None of us could ever have been saved. If the truth had never come, we'd always been following the lie. But the way of salvation has come. Pilate missed it. Knowing that he was making a mistake. John 15, the Lord Jesus speaks of himself as a lion. You can think what you like of yourself, but there is nothing in your life of fruitfulness for God until you come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Oh, friend, listen. The question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? The most important thing any individual can ever do is bow to the Word of God, bow to the will of God, believe what God says about you. And whatever you do in the presence and in the fear of God, don't do what you know to be wrong. Don't go on the way you're going. Don't follow friends or bow to the fashion of the crowd. Whatever you do, realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to give himself so that we can be saved. Will you not trust Christ as your Savior? Shall we pray? Our Father, at the close of this day and at the close of this meeting, we thank thee for the truth of the Bible. We thank thee for the great and wonderful purposes of God that are outlined in the Bible. We thank thee for the sweet and wonderful story of God's mercy, as seen in the Lord Jesus, and his going to Calvary. We thank you, our Father, for the promises concerning the finished work of the cross. We thank you for a God who has given us a Bible who tells us, whosoever believeth hath everlasting life. We would pray tonight for each and every one in this building. No doubt there are those who know the rightness of what's been read and are pondering these things. Lord, we pray that they will not go out tonight more concerned with the things of this world than they're concerned about their souls. We would pray that they might not go out tonight more concerned with friends than they are concerned with meeting God. And so we ask of thee, O God, the gracious dealing of the Holy Spirit in the lives of others, that there might be the conscious reality of sin and of separation from God. There might be the conviction of their great need before thee. There might be the revelation of God that Christ is the answer to a needy soul. We pray thy blessing in his name. Amen.